Welcome to the GOG Cast, brought to you by XSplit Broadcaster. Simple yet powerful, live streaming and recording. And now, your host, Leah.
Welcome to another Girls on Games podcast. My name is Leah, and I'm your host for this show. This is episode number 147. We got another excellent one for you today. Fair warning, I'm a little sick. So if this voice sounds a little different, that's why. You might like it better. You never know. But I don't have it all the time. But yeah, fair warning, okay? If I lose my voice, that's why.
The sniffles podcast.
The sniffles. I also apologize if that happens, but I'm trying really hard not to. Topic of the show this week. We're actually recording on a Friday. We usually do on a Thursday. And the reason is because I got to go and check out a little bit of Far Cry 5. Got an very awesome interview with Dan Hay, who is the executive producer and creative director of the game. And it was good times. And I love talking about the creation process with the people who make these games. And he, you know, gives us a little tidbit on what you might gonna see in Hope County when you jump in there come March 27th. But before we get into that, I want to introduce you to all the friendly voices you're hearing around this digital table. Catherine, how goes?
I'm sick too.
Yeah.
It's going around. It's going around. I'm actually a bit better today, but my sinuses actually cleared up, but yesterday I was just like, I was underwater.
Did you do the neti pot thing, or did you just let
I was too sick and too tired to actually go to the...
Then you get your boyfriend to do it. He's doing nothing all day. Fucking get him to go.
Do that!
No, but he can go to the fucking pharmacy and get stuff for his girlfriend.
I'll go get a kid later.
What a douchebag. Oh my god. I will message him later saying he's a douchebag.
He was at a coffee shop working.
Whatever. All the way back. School. Like, come on, dude.
Whatever. She just put mom. Sorry. Well, I just didn't ask him. That's my own fault.
Still a douchebag.
Cat's about to flip to French. Allie, how are you?
I'm not sick.
Lucky.
So I will consider that a win. I was sick last week when I wasn't on the podcast. I was on vacation and I was sick.
Oh, that's terrible.
I got food poisoning.
Whoa.
Oh, yeah.
That's the worst.
It's been a long time since that happened to me. That sucks.
January's been rough for you.
Yeah. Well, it's been like really busy and just inopportune a lot of the time. But yeah, I got like... I actually got like food poisoning the day before I had to go try on my wedding dress.
Aww.
So it was just like,
at least you were extra skinny.
Yeah, exactly.
Jesus Christ!
Like 6 pounds gone overnight. But no, I'm better this week. I'm back. I'm glad to be back on the podcast. It felt weird not recording.
Yeah. I know, it is weird when you jump a week. Yeah.
Other than that, though, I'm fit as a fiddle, so the keep your internet germs away from me.
Simon, how about you? How you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing good. I got getting over from sickness. That was last week, so I guess this week I'm pretty good. Everyone at work is sick, but so far I haven't gotten another sickness right after another one, so that's good. And it's Friday and we're drinking, so that's cool.
Love it. So before we get into what everybody's playing, I want to remind you that if you enjoy the show, you can subscribe. You can go track us down on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and of course where this thing lives on Podbean. So please do so if you do enjoy the show. And if you ever have a chance, you know, you can rate us too in a lot of those platforms. So
rate.
You know, give us 5 stars.
I'm like, do we drop loot?
That's my accent because of my stuffy nose, okay?
Man, we should do an episode of just the kind of loot we'll drop.
There we go. All the loot we drop.
I'm dropping pants.
All right, let's get into what games we're gaming, because you know when you're sick and you're staying home and you can, you know, play some games because you're not at work, and I like that. Catherine, what are you playing?
I'm still in Persona 5. I'm towards the end of the fifth palace. I didn't play much because it actually hurt my head. to stare at the TV while I was sick. So,
oh yeah.
So I took a break. Still playing Overwatch at lunch until Far Cry comes out, because I found out that the whole game can be played co-op.
That's pretty cool.
And yeah, so Alice and I, instead of playing Overwatch, I was like, once Far Cry comes out and it's fed through our employee Uplay accounts, we need to play that shit instead. So we might jump into some Far Cry in March. But for now, I discovered Moira, the new healer. I'm enjoying her.
Yeah, she's cool.
I was trying to understand her, and then I watched Game Grumps playing Moira.
Dan learning to play Moira. Yeah, that's funny.
Because I enjoy him trying Overwatch because he's so bad at it.
He's horrible. So
I watched that one video and Aaron's explaining how the character works, and I was like, oh, okay, now I get it. Yeah. But it's hard to balance the healing and the damage, because you need to do damage to refill healing and things. Sometimes it's just like, sometimes I'm just like in the middle and I'm like, I have nothing left.
Yeah.
Throw a ball and hope for the best. But I'm getting there. And also I've rediscovered D.Va. Like, I am hauling ass as D.Va.
Yes.
I got to play up the game with her today.
That was pretty good, actually.
So, yeah, Persona Overwatch right now. Waiting for Far Cry 5.
Yay.
Allie, how about you?
Been playing Monster Hunter World.
And?
Like, okay, I love this game.
Yeah?
But Capcom, you need to fix your shit.
How so?
Fucking A. Trying to play co-op in that game and trying to play multiplayer in Monster Hunter World is the most convoluted system I've ever experienced. And I think, and you know, I was talking about this on stream, I think maybe I'm just a little bit spoiled because of North American game design can differ greatly. And you know, one of the biggest, like the biggest appeal I think of Monster Hunter is being able to, like, you know, hunt monsters with your friends. But there's so many hoops you need to jump through with Monster Hunter World that it's kind of downright unpleasant at times. I love the game, though. I'm having a great time. I really didn't know how I was going to feel about it. I've always been interested in the series, but I've never played it before.
Yeah.
I really wanted to play it on 3DS, but just didn't have the time. And so when they announced it was coming to Xbox, I was like, awesome. Like, this is my moment to get in on it. And I had people comparing it to like Dark Souls, and I was like, oh shit, what did I get myself into?
It's not Dark Souls at
it's
all.
Definitely not. There's so much going on, and I think
can you explain what it is, because I like, that's the thing, everybody's talking about Monster Hunter and I'm like, I don't know what it is.
The best way I can kind of describe Monster Hunter is like if Breath of the Wild and Ark had a baby.
Okay.
But with a little bit more skill to it. Because, like, visually, it looks like Ark.
Okay.
But mechanics-wise, there's a lot that you can do in-game. Just, like, you know how there's, like, a lot of options in Breath of the Wild? But I would just say, like, if you upped the skill level on Breath of the Wild quite considerably.
Yeah.
And kind of merged those two together, that's kind of what it's all about.
People say it's like Dark Souls because there's a lot of different types of weapons. And combat is very reaction-based. Like, you know, you have to dodge, you have to roll out of the way, you have to do all that kind of stuff. But it's definitely not a Dark Souls feel kind of game. Everything is much slower. It's much, like, every action has its purpose, kind of, you know. When you start swinging, you deal with the swing. You can't just roll out of the way.
It's not nearly as frustrating as Dark Souls is, because there's a lot of other mechanics going on, like, you know, crafting, gathering, stuff like that. So it's not, you don't feel like you're constantly running from like death to death to death to death to death. There's a lot of other things going on. And you get a cat sidekick.
Yeah, Palico.
You get a Palico. And
I make Koopo.
Aw. I told Penny she was being replaced. Capcom, if you're listening, $1 million idea for you guys. Build-A-Bear, Capcom version.
Plushies.
Let people build their own Palico plushies and order them online. There you go.
Oh my.
Just paid for everybody's Christmas bonuses for like the next 30 years.
So much money.
People would drop a good chunk of change to have the exact replica from the game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How much control over the creation of your cat?
Oh, you like everything.
Really?
Fur pattern, color, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and then you get to dress them up. You can make like, little matching armor sets for them. It's so cute.
Oh my. All right. I'm going to have to. Are you streaming this, Allie?
I have. I have been streaming it. And I will continue streaming it because there's quite a bit of content for me to explore.
Don't buy it on regular Xbox. That's one thing I will tell you. I'm very disappointed with the regular Xbox version. If you have an Xbox One X, yes.
Because I've been playing it on both.
Has the lowest resolution of all of them, and I've been getting around 20, 22 FPS tops. I've been really having a hard time. Like, it's blurry. It's I really dislike what it looks like on the Xbox One S. I mean,
okay.
On the X, it's fine. On the PlayStation, it's fine. And I saw a video from Digital Foundry, and I'm like, am I taking crazy pills? Because I don't fucking understand what's happening. Because I'm seeing videos of people playing the game, and it's crisp, and it looks good, and they're like, what the hell is happening? And then I looked up a video on Digital Foundry. It's like, no. The Xbox regular version is between 720 and 1080. It's not 1080, and it hovers at around 22-23 FPS, which is
that's hard to watch.
Yeah, so do not get the regular Xbox version if you can.
Okay, I'm a little bit confused because I've played it on my Xbox One X, and I've also played it on a day one Xbox One, and I'm watching it play it on a day one Xbox One right now.
And it looks fine?
And it looks fine.
Well, I'll send you the video. Maybe, honestly, maybe I'm more difficult. I don't know. Maybe I see things differently. But, like, even watching Digital Foundry video, I was like, okay, this actually makes sense now. Because watching videos, watching you stream it, Ali, watching, like, people play it on PlayStation Pro, it's super crisp. It's, like, it looks good. It's 1080p. Whereas on the regular Xbox, I was like, I noticed a big difference. And I wonder if there's something
off in your settings, because that's super.
Well, there's no video settings on the regular Xbox. Not on the regular Xbox. Nope.
Huh.
There's video settings. You can change prioritize resolution, frame rate, or performance.
Yeah, on the X.
Or beauty, whatever, on the X and PS4 Pro. But it doesn't run at native 1080p on regular Xbox. It does on the regular PlayStation for some reason. So
yeah, I mean, I've noticed there's a difference in the load times by about like 10 seconds. There's like an additional 10 seconds of load time when you're playing on a regular Xbox One.
Okay.
But as for like frame rate and stuff, I'd be really curious to kind of put them side by side. Cause
hold on, I have the actual numbers here because I looked it up.
I totally believe you. I totally believe you. It's just strange, but yeah.
Simon, you're way more sensitive to like drop frame rates than
yes. I okay. See, some like of us are. On the regular PlayStation default, it's 1080p, so 1920 by 1080, mm-hmm. and then on the regular Xbox, it's 1536 by 864. So it's just a little bit above 720, but not even close to 1080. And basic frame rate on the regular Xbox is, well, you know, what around 23, 25 is. That's what I said earlier. So, but like, yeah, Digital Foundry made a video, Ali. I'll link it to you, and it
for sure.
Really shows a really good comparison between all the versions. So PS4, PS4 Pro, Xbox, and Xbox One X. And I do notice it. So I'm excited for the PC release in fucking October of all the fucking places.
Oh my god, that's a long ways away.
Yeah, I mean, I'm hoping that they make it proper. Like, don't cap the frame rate, don't cap the resolution, don't do all that kind of stuff. But I'm honestly... It bothers me so much, and it's kind of turning me off to play the game. Like, when I'm in the first area, it's like, what the fuck? Like, I'm getting drop frames, and it's not steady. Like, honestly, I would have rather that they would, even on the higher resolution, on the Xbox One X or PS4 Pro, like, I was looking, and the Digital Foundry video was like, it hovers at around 45, like not even 60, around 45, but there's so many drops and it jitters a lot because it's not like capped at 30 or capped at 60, all that kind of stuff. So he's like, depending on where you go and which area you are, it can go all the way to 55, 59 and dip all the way down to like 30 or something, even on PS4 Pros and Xbox One X's. So I was like, ew. And then again, maybe it's because I'm being a entitled PC Bitch, and then I'm used to steady 120 FPS on all the games I play. But I don't know. It really, which is a shame, because as you might have known, I guessed I'm playing the game as well. And it's a really fun game, and it's really cool, but it's almost turning me off from playing it really fully and enjoying it. So,
What else are you playing?
Destiny.
Okay.
I mean, I've been keeping up to date with the community and the releases and all that kind of stuff, and clearly, you know, Bungie want to make it better, and they want to improve the game, and they brought in a lot of cool stuff, a lot of interesting stuff. And a couple of days ago, a friend of mine was like, "Hey, we're gonna do a raid on Thursday." I'm like, "Really, a raid on Destiny?" I'm like, "Okay, I'll bring it out." And so I logged in Thursday before the raid and started looking at the new stuff and new weapons and raid perks. I was like, "Holy shit, we've been asking for raid perks for a while now, and we got them." And I was like, "Yeah, this is actually pretty cool." So it kind of makes me want to jump back into it and play it a bit of more Destiny and start raiding, maybe, you know, once a week and stuff. And World of Warcraft, the Battle for Azeroth new expansion pre-orders are out. When you pre-order, you get to unlock the new races, so the High Mountain and the Nightborn for the Horde, and the Lightforged Draenei and Void Elves for the Alliance. So that's pretty cool. I unlocked both races for the Horde. And I've been playing. You get a free character boost to 110 as well, so probably gonna jump on there and live out on the alt and play with the alt and that kind of stuff. And started raiding a little bit again, so it's cool. I mean, I'm excited for the expansion coming out in September. It's gonna be a while, but I'm excited for all the new stuff that the expansion will bring.
Nice. Well, it's gonna be a busy time for you between WoW and Monster Hunter.
And yeah, well, it's fine. It's going to be WoW, of course, because WoW is always going to be my first love. But in between leveling up and gearing up, I'll go kill a couple of monsters in the 1080p, 120 FPS, hopefully. Or if I end up buying a widescreen monitor, like fucking 340... what is it? 3,430-something by 1080? It's fucking crazy. Hold on, I have it right here.
Nice. Yes.
I'm reviewing a monitor for GOG, and it's 49-inch wide.
It's insane.
And it's 3,840 by 1080, and it's, 49 inches wide. And I took a couple of pictures and showed the girls, and it's just fucking crazy. Honestly, I've already gotten used to it, and I'm like, I can't give it back now. This is fucking awesome. This is way too cool. And I'm having a really good time with that. I think I'm going to go ultra wide eventually, but
nice.
This is just ridiculous. Anyway, sorry I rambled on for like 25 minutes.
That's okay. Yeah, I put Assassin's Creed Origins aside for a little bit because I found myself a new addiction. On Saturday, when I was really coming down with the cold and really feeling crappy, I wanted like a couch game, and I wanted something kind of repetitive. And I had been hearing good things, especially from Allie, about Slime Rancher.
Yes.
So I went and dropped $20. Actually, first I went and looked through. I was looking at different games in the Xbox store and on my Switch, and was like, I couldn't really decide it, but I was like, I want something similar to Stardew Valley. I want something, you know, like that kind of simulation, you know, like time management, that sort of thing. Figured that's good when you're kind of loopy on cold meds. And and I saw that Slime Rancher had a demo, an hour-long demo. So I was like, okay. So I downloaded it, which is essentially the full game, and it just has a timer on it. And I played the first hour and said, that's it, I'm done. And I was like, take my money, Xbox. Take it and run. And managed to play 6 hours straight that day.
Nice.
And I'm still going. And wow, that game is really good.
Right?
Is it on Xbox?
Really good.
It is.
Xbox and
yeah.
PC.
It was one of my game of the year, Simon.
I remember.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, like, what I'm really impressed by is how interesting the slimes are and the mechanics of breeding, which is not hard, but the possibilities. And now I'm just getting into the stuff of the slime science, I guess you could say. Is that what it's called? Slime science? And man, it's cool. I made it to the glass desert the other day, and it's so
it's a deceptively simple game, huh?
it's deceptively simple, yet so friggin' rewarding, and I just want to go and see what the next slime is and how many different creations of other slimes as I combine them together and which ones look prettiest. And
wow.
It's so there's cute.
There's
I
so
love
much
it.
Living the
so
dream.
Much going on in Slime Rancher, and Manomi Park, the developers behind the game, you know, just keep putting out updates and are really, really driven to keep that game, you know, going. And that's, I think that's super awesome. I'm willing to keep giving them money if it means more Slime Rancher content.
It's
just so simple, but just so, like, there's so much to it at the same time.
Well, like, just the at first you're like, the name and the way they've illustrated it, but like, you're thinking, oh, is this going to be dorky or something? But then once you get into it and you see the mechanics, and they're not hard, but they are very smart, and it just feels good. And the aesthetic is very nice through everything, the UI, the way they illustrate the plorts, the slime poop, and how it's illustrated and demonstrated in 3D. Like, everything is so cute.
Plorts.
Plorts.
Oh, that's adorable.
Plorts.
That's
so cute.
Plorts. Though someone on the internet said they're not poop, but I mean, like, it's whatever whatever they produce after they eat something.
Yeah.
And it's just a really fun mechanic. And I'm reading through the story because you get, like, mail as you go, and there's, like, this really sad story.
Yeah.
So sad. I'm like, oh my God. Anyway.
It's crazy. There's, like, a little bit of everything in the game. And, you know, I think this being, I believe this is Manomi Park's first release. And just seeing how they've handled the launch and the, you know, post-launch, I think is just an indicator of what kind of greatness they're going to achieve in the future. I'm definitely going to be keeping an eye on whatever they do next.
Ditto.
Because, you know, they've treated their community really well. The game itself is just a total hit. So they'll have my business in the future for sure.
Yeah. Ditto. And there was that hashtag going around about girls behind the games.
Yes.
I believe. And I was flipping through it really quickly, and I saw one of the illustrators. So I followed her, and I'm like, I'm going to see if I can get her on the podcast.
Yeah.
I want to talk to her. So yeah, no, that's what sucked up my time, and I'm having a lot of fun with it. I'm going to go play after this.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad that you discovered it.
Yay! I need more of those types of games. I really like them. So if I feel like we need to write a list of, like, the best, like, Sims like that. So yeah, it's good fun. All right, it's time for news, guys. Let's do that right after this break. All right, it's time for news of the week. Catherine, Nintendo dropped a little bit of news this week that came out of nowhere.
Yeah, just out of nowhere, they announced three things. Online is launching in September 2018.
Okay.
They've partnered with Illumination to make a movie starring Mario.
Oh my God.
It's the people responsible for the Minions.
Oh no.
Oh God.
So you can start crying.
Fucking why, Nintendo?
Wait, no, the Minion or Despicable Me? Because Despicable Me was really funny.
The Minions.
Yeah.
They
did Despicable Me, and then the Minions got popular, and they did, like, Pixar with Cars, and they were like, there's our cash cow.
Oh.
Put it out so that we can keep paying for everything else.
Despicable Me was really funny, and I really liked it as a funny movie.
Maybe they make good animated movies. I gotta
say. It's
gonna
be animated, right?
I liked Sing.
Yeah.
I forgot if you said it or not. I assume it's gonna be animated.
Yeah, another live action.
Oh, God. That would be so funny.
Half live action, and so Mario's gonna get, like, he's gonna be cartoon, but he's gonna team up with, like, I don't know, fucking, like, Hadid. She's gonna be like his sidekick. And
did you say who? Did you say Gigi Hadid?
Yeah, that model,
the model
lady. Yeah, she's gonna be like his partner, his Peach, like, detective partner, and they're gonna fall in love, and it's gonna be a weird Who Framed Roger Rabbit situation.
Wow.
I can see it.
Can you write this script?
I will. I'll
write this script,
write the script and send it to them. Look, I did it for you. Don't
here, Nintendo.
Up.
Take
Give
this.
Me the buddy.
You're welcome.
Well, because aren't they doing that with the Pikachu detective movie? They're doing half animation,
something like
half,
that.
Yeah, they are.
Oh my God, Ryan Gosling like Pikachu. How fucking awesome is that gonna be?
That's hilarious. Oh,
but anyway, of all the things they announced, I only cared about one thing. And that's they've announced Mario Kart Tour, which is the first mobile Mario Kart game. Which I'm really excited about. Because
did you enjoy our lack of reaction when you said that?
Yeah, I'm just, I was just
literally so none of us were excited about it.
We're like, wah.
I'm excited to try, but I'm also bracing for extreme disappointment.
I just don't know how they could mess up Animal Crossing on mobile.
The problem with Animal Crossing is it's just shallow.
I think it's shallow. They just stopped. They could have gone much further, but they just stopped.
You click in 6 different places. That's it.
It's shallow.
And I really think that Mario Kart on mobile is going to be the same thing.
It's too bad that we don't have video because I can see Ali's dread and disappointment in her eyes right now.
Here's the thing, though.
I just feel like they're trying. They're trying, and that's nice. But they need to try a lot harder.
They need to put the same love they do for the Mario Kart for the 3DS games. Because Mario Kart 7 on 3DS is an awesome Mario Kart, and I sunk a lot of hours in it. And Mario Kart 8 on the Wii U, on the revamped version on the Switch, is an amazing game as well.
The thing I'm worried about is how are you going to control this shit? Because you got two choices. You got a virtual controller on your mobile device.
Oh, God.
Or you got Waggle. Got motion controls. And I hated the motion controls in the Wii U version of Mario Kart 8.
Most mobile racing game, they do use motion control, but they're way better than whatever was on the Wii U or on the Wii. Motion controls I hate motion controls.
Yeah, the gyro, whatever the fuck, on phones are usually pretty good.
But on phones, I've played a lot of racing games using the gyro. It's just a bit iffy on the Metro when the car suddenly screeches to a halt.
Can you imagine sitting in the Metro, though, and just, like, turning your thing back and forth? People are going to think you're whack.
No, people do it all the time.
Okay. I don't know.
I won't be excited until Nintendo proves to me that they see mobile as a viable option and not just an afterthought. Because, you know, they announced that they're breaking into mobile, and I still don't think they understand that they could get away with charging people $30 in the App Store for, like, full-fledged titles.
People freaked out over the Super Mario Run price.
It was pretty expensive.
That was for an Infinite Runner game, though.
Yeah.
That's like, but I mean, if they wanted to turn around and charge me $30 for a Animal Crossing game that was a full Animal Crossing game, I would have given that to them in a second. But I wasn't going to pay, you know, what was it, $12 to unlock everything or $20 to unlock everything in
Mario Run?
In Mario Run, what was it?
Yeah,
I'll be honest with you guys, I played it once and then I uninstalled it.
Mm. I paid the money for it and played it for a few weeks and then uninstalled it.
But it's like, if you look at the Final Fantasy games, they're about like between $10 and $20 on mobile. But it's like the full release that we used to play on the NES and the SNES and things like that. And
Tactics. It was like, I got it for $5 and that's like 40 hours right fucking there, you know?
Yeah,
Pascal got the new Tactics game.
Yeah.
And it was $10 or $15, I think. But right, it's the full game. It's like, it's the full game.
A port.
Yeah. It's just a port, yeah. So if they want to charge us that kind of money, we need a lot of content.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think they need to stop looking at mobile as in like, oh, let's just like put something here to like appease them, and then you know that's it. I think they need to think of it as like an actual platform. Like, don't half-ass it, whole-ass it.
Mm. I'm also intrigued by the announcement of the online coming in September. Yeah, okay. There's got to be a game coming with that. There's got to be some kind of game that has a lot of online capability that they're waiting for.
A lot of people are saying, like, because online is coming in September, so is some sort of Smash Brothers game, either a port or a new one.
Would make
Splatoon
sense.
Splatoon 3!
No, 2 just came out. Why would they release 3?
It's being sarcastic, Simon.
Yeah, a Pokemon? An online Pokemon?
No, I don't think
more like Smash.
Yeah, I think you're right there.
A Smash or maybe a new, maybe an actual Mario Kart. That could, maybe they could get
They're not going to put out a Mario Kart. They just had that. They just pulled over the port. We're not going to get one for a little while.
I don't know. You don't know that.
I don't think we're getting a Mario
Kart
for
a little
while.
We're getting the mobile one, Simon. Be content.
Oh, I don't care about
That's all you get. That's all you get. Simon.
Hello.
What news you got for me?
I got news. So, being a fan of the looter-shooter genre.
Looter-shooter? That's a new one. I haven't heard that before. I like it.
I think it's shooter-looter. Destiny, kind of, and Borderlands to some extent. Mm-hmm. You know, I was excited, but cautious about Anthem, especially, you know, that it's EA fucking doing it. So they announced that they will be releasing Anthem in 2019 instead of fall 2018 as originally planned. But as the EA people say, no, it's not a delay. This is not a delay. There's a Battlefield coming out in October, so they just want to not give it competition with Anthem. But it's not a delay, tells EA Finance Chief Blake Jorgensen. People are just trying to make a story out of nothing. If you push your game to a later date that you have announced, it's a fucking delay. Suck my dick, EA, all right? Call a dog a dog. Call a dog a dog. It's a delay. It's fine that you're delaying the game to make it proper and to make it good. That's totally fine. I think we've proven, especially in 2017, that gamers don't care that you delay your game, because that usually means that you're making it better and making it work properly from day one. So it's totally fine. Delay the game. Say that you rather put the polish that you want on when it actually comes out, then say, no, we're not delaying the game. What are you talking about? We're just changing the date to further down in the future. That's not a delay. What are you talking about, you crazy people? We are EA, motherfucker. Listen to us. We know what we're talking about.
I guess they must be happy now that Red Dead Redemption announced their date.
But here's the thing. Probably. When they announced their date, they apologized for the delay. They did the entire opposite. And I don't give a shit. I'm just happy. Can it be October yet?
It's honestly, and like I said, 2017 was the year of the gamer accepting the delay.
It's acceptance. Fine. Are we in the, what are the steps or whatever?
Yes,
we're in the
acceptance sets. Take your time to make the game good from when it releases. That's totally fine. Take your time. Push it 3 months. Push it a year. Whatever the fuck it takes. Just make it good from day one. That's all that matters.
Let's be honest. In 2019, we'll still be going through our 2017 backlog.
Exactly. There's so many games coming out. I'd say, who buys a game when it comes out right now? Very rarely do we buy a game when it comes out, unless we're, like, super fucking hype about it. And, like, it's just, I don't know. So, Anthem delayed 2019. There we go. Okay. That's my news.
And my little bit of news, the fact that Red Dead Redemption got a release date. So, there we go! It's coming out October 26th, and I'm really excited, and I'm glad everything else is, you know, if it needs time, it needs time.
Yeah, it's okay. Listen to me. You guys gotta listen. EA fucking motherfuckers, you gotta listen to me, okay? Don't fuck up Anthem, okay? It looks really cool. It looks fun. It looks promising. Don't come put your little greedy motherfucking fingers on this and make it, like, horribly mal put like Destiny was when it first came out. Please make it good from day one, okay? Thank you.
All right, time to talk about something a little bit happier, right? Hey! Okay, Allie. What happened with Sea of Thieves?
Just last week was the first session of the Sea of Thieves closed beta.
Mm-hmm.
And it apparently went over really well. According to an image leaked from Rare's office, there was kind of a numerical breakdown of what went down during the Sea of Thieves beta. And it looks like over 300,000 players were pirates. Took to the seas during the open beta session, which I think it spanned about five days or a week. I'm not quite sure. I was on vacation for it. Mm-hmm. I didn't get to take part in this round. I've been in the game since the alpha. So I have, you know, been able to get my sea legs. But not last week. But yeah, so it looks like 300,000, and there was over 2 million in-game hours played.
Wow.
So yeah, that's pretty cool.
I had a lot of friends play the beta. Like, I've rarely seen so many people I know play a beta of a game like they were playing Sea of Thieves. So yeah, there's clearly something going on here.
It's a closed beta too, so that's surprising that we saw so many people in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it got really good traction on streaming sites and been hearing a lot of good feedback from the game. So I just thought that was interesting. That's a lot of people.
Mm. Actually, Allie, you weren't on when we were talking about it last week. Xbox Game Pass with the new news. This is really going to help.
Yeah, I shared my own thoughts about that, not on the podcast, but I'm very excited for that. I think that offers another chunk of value to a service I thought was already worth it. If you're like me and you're very fickle, you like jumping back and forth between games, you like having little games to fill, you know, interim moments in your gaming schedule. I think, you know, having all these first party MS titles releasing via Game Pass is pretty freaking awesome. I don't know if do you guys use Game Pass?
No.
Well, when you're a Game Pass member, you actually get discounts on the games if you do turn around and want to buy them.
Okay.
So, you know, I kind of see this as sort of an extended demo for titles like Sea of Thieves, State of Decay, Crackdown 3 when those guys launch. You know, you might play the demo for a month and decide that you really want to buy it for keeps, and you earn a little discount because you're a Game Pass member.
Couldn't you just keep paying and have it forever?
Yeah, you could if you wanted to do that too. As of right now, I believe the final comment is that the games will be part of Game Pass indefinitely, but you know, that could change. They could be cycled out at one point or another. But I think it's great. I really don't see it as I see it as a no lose scenario.
You know, very true.
If you're a Game Pass subscriber, then this is an added bonus. If you want to shell out the $9.99 a month to try out Game Pass and try out those titles, then that's $9.99. I mean, in the grand scheme of things, it's not that much, and you'll probably save that money when you go to buy it with your discount in the store. So I thought that was great. I'm glad that you brought that up, because I kind of wanted to talk about it, but I knew it was like last week's news.
That's okay. It's still on the tip of everybody's tongue because it's still super popular. The concept, you know, this could be the thing that revolutionizes gaming for this generation of consoles, right? It's the idea of the rental service, in a sense, kind of like Netflix. So,
I mean, and there has been backlash. There's a lot of brick and mortar stores that are claiming they're going to boycott Xbox now that this is happening. And I feel like that's such a weird hostage situation sort of stance to take on this whole thing. I mean, for a long time as gamers, we know that brick and mortar stores have been failing. They've been failing us as gamers. They've been failing on, you know, a sales level. I just thought it was kind of laughable.
I just hate the experience of walking into a store and being a female. I just don't bother.
I hate it.
Such an e-com person now.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, you have to go out and get it. I'm like, I'll find an option on Amazon.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to sound callous, because I know these are people's jobs at stake, but you know, it's expensive.
Download them.
Yeah, it's inexpensive. It's not, you know, it upsets my schedule. It's unpleasant a lot of the time to shop in those stores.
Because your girl, you're like, who are you buying the game for? Your boyfriend? I'm like, no, hell, I owe every console.
Do you want to buy the disc protection system? Do you want to buy the upgrade
probably,
system?
I could probably tell you more about these games than you know.
Yeah, I just, that's my stance on it. I don't really know how in-depth you guys got into it last week. But yeah, I think it's going to be interesting to see what happens going forward. I mean, at the end of the day, this is still a very small selection of titles, but I think it's a great place to start. And I think it's showing that the model works.
Yeah.
I want the Netflix of games.
Yeah.
It's just, I need it to be cross-platform because I'm...
yeah.
Maybe one day Steam's going to release something like that.
I need it on both my computer and all my consoles.
All right, it's time to get into topic of the show. And like I mentioned earlier, this week we've got an extra special interview with Dan Hay. He is the executive producer and creative director on Far Cry 5, which I am really excited to play. Super excited. So let's get into that right after this break. Dan Hay, thank you so much for letting us into your home and showing us your awesome game.
I'm glad you guys are here.
It's going to be a time. So we're officially 8 weeks out from launch.
Right.
How you feeling?
Good. It's a crazy time, right? When you ship a game, you've been staring at it for 3 years, and it's your baby, and you want everybody to see it, but at the same time, you want it to be perfect. So how am I feeling? I have no idea how I'm feeling. I'm certainly not sane, that's for sure.
So we're taking our time here with Far Cry 5, and instead of going off to a remote place, mm-hmm. we're going a little south of here.
Yeah.
South of Montreal, that is. Montana.
Right.
Why Montana?
I think, when we started talking about the idea of going to the States, we did that like late 2012. That's how far back it goes. And at the time, we knew that, and I knew that we wanted to go to the States. We just didn't know how to do it. And we kicked around some different ideas, and we were talking about it, and it never found purchase. It just never found the right... It didn't have stickiness to it. So we shelved the idea, and we kind of put it away for a while. We made Far Cry 4. We made Primal. And then it kind of came back. And when we really started to kick around the idea of taking it to the States, we were specifically thinking about a couple of different places. And then I remember being in a meeting room, and somebody said, "Well, what about Montana?" And everybody's like, "Montana? Why? Nobody, where the hell is that?" And the reflex was to dismiss it because we didn't know about it. But we do this thing on Far Cry where whenever somebody throws out something like that, you chase it. You chase it because Far Cry is about being in a frontier. It's about being sort of off the beaten path. It's about taking reality and subtly twisting it, right? And making it feel very real. And so the more we started to find out about Montana, the more it really made sense. So we planned a trip there. And we planned to be there for about 12 days. And when we landed, I mean, it was stunning. It was beautiful. I fell in love with the place in 24 hours. But then we met the people. And we started to have these kind of strange wilderness experiences. And it was perfect. It just made sense. And there's this thing that we do when we think about a Far Cry, about it being a frontier and whatnot, I always imagine sitting at a bar, and I always imagine somebody coming in and ordering a drink, Far Cry 3, Far Cry 4 characters, and talking about the story from the game, and me kind of voyeuristically listening to it from the side and saying, is that believable? Would I believe it? And the more that we kind of did that, and the more that I thought about it, I'm realizing that bar for me, for now, for all future Far Cries, is in Montana. So it just sort of seeped into our blood.
That's great. And speaking of bar, we're sitting here now listening to music in the background.
Exactly.
How much fun was making the soundtrack or picking the soundtrack?
Oh, super cool.
Yeah.
Right. It was amazing. The music, like the number one thing that we talked about when it came to music and specifically, where you'd use it and how, ordinarily you get to talk about an album or talk about fight music mm-hmm. or we're a shooter. And so the conversation doesn't always go as deep as it went on this game. And what we said was, classic American car, you get in a roadster, you get in a classic, and you just drive down the road, and music is playing, and it just feels right. And we all know what that is, that perfect summer song, that perfect weekend song, you get off work, and you just drive.
Yeah.
Now imagine doing that in a classic muscle car, and doing it in Far Cry 5.
And music is such a thing that's ingrained into humanity, and especially when you think of religion and cult,
yep.
and in your presentation earlier, you're talking about the music, like the coming out of the cultists and
yep.
them using music as a way to like convert folks.
Mm-hmm.
How was the process in creating those kind of songs and integrating them so it fit with, modern music?
It's funny when you talk about this, there's a lot of different vectors that you can kind of approach it at. But
yeah.
what we really wanted to be able to do was make it so that when you were playing the game, it made sense. So there's a simple little moment that we wanted to see if we could make happen.
Mm-hmm.
And that moment was that the cult would be playing this music, and the music would be, it'd be interesting. It wouldn't be something you'd be like, oh, I don't want to listen to that. You're driving down the road, and you happen to get into a cult vehicle, and the music's playing, and you don't change the radio. And then you pull up next to a cultist, and they're humming the same song to the song that you're hearing in tune.
That's creepy.
It's a super cool moment, especially when, you go to an outpost, and you're there, and you've just heard that song, and you know that you've got to go and attack that person, take them out, but they're humming the song that you were just doing. It makes them feel very human, and there's a moment of eeriness that happens. So when you think about little moments that are subtle like that in the game, to make it so that it's the kind of music that you would like, it's the kind of music that would kind of seep into your blood, it's the kind of music that you might, when you're done with a game, you put it down, you're in your car, you find yourself humming, then we win. That's what we want.
Let's talk about the antiheroes.
Okay.
The good old cultists themselves.
Yep.
How, like, we're so used to Far Cry being just like one guy, this big baddie that we're going against. How does the design change, the fact now that you've got like a whole team of characters that you're going up against, still got the big baddie, but, you know, he's got a fairly good army behind him as well.
I'm so glad you asked this question. Because honestly, I don't know that everybody's going to think about it. I think some people are just going to pick up the game and go, okay, I'm going to jump into it. And they're not going to think about all the work that went into it or all the things that are behind it. But yeah, it's not double, it's not triple, it's not quadruple the work. It's tenfold the amount of work to be able to make it so that the legacy of a character as great as Voss or Pagan Min is brought to life with the father, but that the father also has active control over the people that are there, and the way that he does it feels real, and their response feels real, and whether or not they love him, or they're afraid of him, or they feel chided, or they're jealous, all of the nuance of their relationship is clear in just a few words, in just a few moments, so that they feel real. If they're just sitting around waiting to be bad, it sucks. But if they're there and they're a real person, and what they're doing is they're doing something. They're going on with their Tuesday. That's what they're doing. They have a job.
Yeah.
They have things that they have. They have shit they've got to get done.
That's true.
Right? Mm-hmm. And you get in the way and they react as a regular human would. It just makes it feel real.
Awesome. So this game, you've chosen that the gamer, the player, we can choose our own, build our own character. Does that change up things as well when it comes to the design standpoint? Because you no longer have like a persona that's going up against this bad guy. It could be anybody.
Sure, for sure. I mean, what we want to be able to do is make it so that it's as lean as possible. One of the things that I don't like when I'm playing a game is when I'm going through the motions of playing the game, I'm having something happen, and the character that I'm supposed to be emotes in a way that I don't understand, right? Like if I'm thinking, Jesus Christ, what the fuck, right? And they go, oh gosh, in a voice that doesn't mirror what I have in my head, I'm completely pulled out of the experience.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if I've built this character and I understand that when they communicate, even if it's just a grunt, that I understand that I made that choice.
Mm-hmm.
And that when the characters, the bad people, are talking to me, they understand that it's me. It just makes me feel much more invested in the experience because it feels personal. It feels like John knows who I am and is very clear about the choices that I've made and is getting in my head. And that's important. If we're talking about a cult, if we're talking about manipulation, if we're talking about somebody who's going to get inside your head and swim around for a while, it has to be your head.
That's awesome. I'm so excited to play this game.
Cool.
Go hands-on. 8 weeks is too long.
Yes.
Yeah, it's too long to wait. Thank you so much, Dan.
Cool, thanks.
Really appreciate it.
Awesome.
Have a great one.
Cheers.
It's time to close out this show. Of course, want to thank our wonderful website hosting partner, Fun.io. If you're looking for website hosting, you should go check them out. Stream Team seems to be going pretty darn well.
Yeah. Did we talk about the gaming joining? Gaming
Thunder? No, we didn't. Because that happened the middle of the week.
Isn't it like, whatever. So we got a new Stream Team member, Gaming.geek, who's another partner streamer on Mixer. I think who's friends with Pixel and Steffi and all those people. So he decided to join the stream team and has been doing fantastic. I think he streams mostly in the morning for us. So if you're if you want to go watch another awesome streamer, go check out girlsongames.tv.
Awesome. Catherine, what's going on the website?
So we have an upcoming article that's going to be out soonish if it's not already out. Something with our friend Jackie from Nerdy Crafter.
Yay!
And it might be Monster Hunter related.
Yay!
Awesome. I love what Jackie does. I remember having her on the show.
Is it getting more than 30 FPS? Because if not, I don't know.
It's going to be real life, Simo. It's going to be all the FPS.
All the FPSs.
Nice.
I like that. I like that. All right, guys, it's time to close the show. And before I let you go, and of course, thank you for being here and doing this with me, I want you guys to shout out your social media so people can track you down and ask you all the things and talk about the frame rates with Simon and all that jazz. So, Catherine, where can people find you?
I'm CSDESBINS on Twitter, Instagram, most gaming platform. And I started streaming again. So mixer.com/CSDBA for my Tuesday night chill art stream. Last week I was talking, reminiscing about playing D&D with Simon. So
that is very chill.
Very chill.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Glad to have you back on there. Allie, where can people track you down?
You can find me as 8BitBlonde pretty much everywhere on the internet, including Mixer, Xbox Live, and Twitter.
Perfect. How about you, Simon?
I am GOG Simon on Twitter, and I am 42 on Mixer. As soon as I find a way to stream with my ultra wide 3800 fucking screen monitor, I will probably come back and give it a go.
I'm really excited to see your review on that.
I would really want to do a video review, and I got like some stuff to kind of do it, so we'll see if I find the time and or the motivation to do a video review.
You should.
Especially for this monitor, because you can actually, you know, it's cool to see it in action, kind of. So we'll see what happens.
Totally. And I am Leah Jew, our most social media platforms, but if you're looking for me on Xbox Live or Mixer, and I have been streaming a bit more, I am GOG Leah. But of course, you want to know everything there is to know about Girls on Games, and you can follow us on Twitter and Facebook at The Girls on Games. We are just Girls on Games on Instagram. If you want to continue this lovely conversation and more, go to our Discord channel. That's discord.me/girlsongames. But of course, if you really want to hunt everything down and all the articles and episodes of this, like past episodes of GOGcast and episodes of buffs and nerfs and all that jazz, you can go track that down at girlsongames.ca. That's our home, our website, our base. Once again, thank you, Kat. Thank you, Allie. Thank you, Simon. It's been a lovely episode 147. We're getting really close to 150. I guess we should talk about that soon. But until that time, we will see you next week and have a wonderful time gaming. We'll talk soon. Bye.
Bye.